The headlines from this morning is that music and dance and drama is not the sole property of this world. That God has sovereignly created this and put it within the DNA of every believer to be used to bring glory to Him. Amen? It belongs to the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit is redeeming it and calling it back. Amen. So I just want to challenge and invite you, members of the body of Christ, Elam and Peoples and whatever church you belong to this morning, why not be engaged? Why not lay down the lethargy and mediocrity and say, I will be engaged in the kingdom of God. I will sing, I'll drama, I'll even dance. Imagine that. Now, I can guarantee you that I'm not going to dance this morning, so you could just be relieved at that. We were wrapping this service up very quickly, but there's two important things that's going to happen here that I know you'll want to be a part of. 2 weeks ago, I began a mini-series that's going to last me through the remainder of the summer. Sadly, it's only mini, because I wish the summer would last longer. This thing is echoing and bouncing everywhere. But I'm going to take about 10 minutes. And if you don't believe in miracles, believe that. I just want to give you an overview of where I'm going on this particular subject. And just because it's 10 minutes, don't underestimate it. Because it's 10 minutes that could change your life. That could change your world. That could change your church. I want to talk to you about choices. That's life. That's life. Choices. Choices. That's life. You want to have a better life? Make better choices. I got a text a few weeks ago from a lady that said, how do I get myself in this mess? Choices. How many people have ever made great choices? Nobody? Oh, there's two or three of you? Excellent. You've made good choices in your life? Doug is saying yes, he chose Jan, right? Right? All right. How many people have ever made a bad choice? Everybody's free to choose, but nobody is free from the consequences of those choices. We introduced this subject by telling you about three things that God chose. When you read the Bible, God chose a lot of things, but these three primaries. Number one, God chose Jerusalem. Obama or Putin or Trudeau, don't mess with Jerusalem. Amen. God chose that. Amen. Secondly, God chose Jesus.
Amen.
Wow. Thirdly, God chose me.
Amen.
God chose you. And I'm looking around, I'm saying, hey, God's made a pretty good choice. The reason why God makes good choices is because that God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And He's omniscient. He knows all. And if I was all-powerful and omniscient, I'd always make good choices too. Unfortunately, I'm a human being. I'm neither omnipotent nor omniscient. I don't know all things and I can't do all things. So some of my decisions I've made, I've lived to regret. So I want to talk to you just a couple of minutes on this topic of the power of change as it relates to choices. The catapult for choice, for change in any area of your life is choice. I believe you can change any area of your life if you so choose. I believe that any area of any church can be changed if we so choose. Because if nothing happens, nothing happens. But give me a group of people, though they be in the minority, if they choose, what a difference they can make. Well, your decision is the major factor in determining your future. It's those knob-turning moments. You know, when you turn the knob on the door and the door opens. If you don't turn the knob, nothing happens. Decision is that knob-turning power that can open a door that otherwise would remain closed. So I'm going to invite you this morning. Make some choices. Make some good ones. I'm going to rush on to the next slide. Talking briefly about this man named Moses who changed history. Moses never mustered an army. He never reached the promised land. He never sought prominence, privilege, power, position. None of those things were on his agenda. But he became an agent of change. And we're still impacted by the changes that he implemented. And all those changes began with a choice. He said, "I choose." Probably two of the most powerful words you can say to yourself, to your God, to your spouse, to your parents, "I choose." Let's go to the next slide. I'd invite you to read it with me. A short passage in the book of Hebrews. Why don't you just get victory over the blankets right now? Everybody take the yarn. Okay? Let's read it together. Take a deep breath. I wish we could stop that. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. The first thing that he chose was to speak to his identity. He spoke to his identity. He refused to be called, you want to go to the next slide? He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, some people's minds are like concrete. They're all mixed up and permanently set. But if you would give yourself a little bit of latitude, a little bit of flexibility in your thinking, your life can be radically changed if you so choose. If you're an alcoholic here this morning and you're bound and you don't know how to get out of it, you begin by a choice. Amen? Turn to that lovely wife or husband beside you and say, "I'm so glad I chose you. What a difference you've made in my life. What a difference you've made in my..." I'm going to Jamaica. I like that. Right? To choose. He said, "I will no longer be impacted by what people call me." Who are people calling you? Where do you get your identity? You don't have to be bound by that anymore. You have to put the past in its place. And you say, "I refuse to allow yesterday to come into today. It has no entry point into my now. I choose." Amen. And the last slide I'm going to talk about this morning. Everybody say last slide. You don't. God is alive. He's here. Proof right now. Actually, I've got about 6 more slides, but I'll lay it on my church next Sunday. The last one, let me say to you, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Some people just grow old. They never grow up. Do you know the measure of maturity? Don't tell anybody this, but the measure of maturity is measured by the quality of the choices that we make. Hello? Do you know anybody growing old and they're still making childish decisions? Do you know anyone that's relatively young and they're making great decisions? Yeah. Moses, when he grew up, he said, I'm walking out of my past. I'm walking into a brand new day. I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so the great text in Corinthians 13 reads, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. What does it say? But when I what? What did I do? In just a few moments, we're going to invite you to join us at the table of grace at communion. And this is where we make choices. We change our minds about Jesus. Oh, he's just a historic figure. No. He's the Lord of the now. He's right now, here. I'm choosing to think differently about him. I'm choosing to believe differently about him. And while the leadership comes forward and creates the scene for the communion to be distributed, we're going to just give you a moment to reflect and think differently. Choose the cross. When I survey the wondrous cross, it's going to be played in just a moment. Take a new survey. Maybe you've surveyed it in the past and said, it's not for me. Take a different survey of that. Yeah, I believe it's for me. It's for my life. It's forever. So as we come to the table of the Lord, let's choose him. Ties us together. We have a Christ, a cross, a communion that says we're one in him. We're not labeled by nations and boundaries and borders. In Jesus Christ, you are my brother, you are my sister. And communion celebrates that. So we come to remember. How dare we forget? How can we forget what he did for us? We come not only to remember, we come to rejoice. We not only come to rejoice, we come to repent. We change our mind and say, yeah, I could be a disciple. I could transfer from sainthood to discipleship, because there is a difference, is there not? It's a choice that we make. I want to tell you, nobody will be happier for choices that you make to become disciples than leadership in a local church. So what do you say? We've all chosen Jesus to be Savior. Why not make another choice? Why not kick your life up another notch and say, yes, I'm going to follow him, commit myself to serve him and to serve others. So come to the table. Remember, rejoice, repent, receive. That's what it's all about. Let's have a quick prayer together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we sanctify these emblems that they might be to us your body and your blood. We remember the sacrifice that you have made for us. We would in turn come to you with thanksgiving, with a sense of renewed commitment to follow you. As this communion is distributed and received and in a few moments partaken of, may it be to us a new beginning. We choose you, Lord, in a world that is so confusing and even deceiving. We choose you to be our Savior and to be our Lord. We ask these mercies through Jesus. Amen.